B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Final hour of Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. No Chris today. He's out covering the All-Star Game, Major League Baseball All-Star Game in Los Angeles, to which you would say, wait a minute, wasn't that Tuesday?
Yeah, that was on Tuesday.
Well, Chris, it's one of the reasons he's my pal. He likes to really milk it. You know, if I'm going to travel and go 3,000 miles away, I'm going to really make the best of it. So I'll see you whenever. I mean, he's got family out there, too, but I just think it's hysterical. Yeah, you know, the Globe's got me covering the All-Star Game out there. When are you back? Oh, you know, Saturday night. Oh, okay. So no Chris today. It's myself and Ted Johnson. Ted, oh, it's been a minute since we've done a show together, but always a pleasure. Good to have you.
Same here, buddy. Thank you.
You were just saying, because I was asking, like, what else is, bee in your bonnet here you might want to talk about? David Ortiz going into the Hall of Fame Sunday. I don't know if you heard this from Adam Jones in his opening take on Agenda Free Friday and Felger and Maz yesterday.
I did.
He believes, and I'm with him on this. I didn't even thought about it until he put it in the email chain yesterday before the show, that there's like a real lack of buzz for David Ortiz going to the Hall of Fame, which is very un-Red Sox, which is also kind of indicative of how ownership is treating this team right now, which is like an afterthought. Because think of like the Ortiz final season, all up in your grill, game in, game out. It's Big Poppy's last season. Make sure you tune in. I was like, they beat you over the head with it. It was like, oh, I got to the point. I'm like, all right, like enough. We get it. And they did it even when Pedro Martinez went into the Hall of Fame, and rightfully so. This, until I saw him at the end of the All-Star game, busting balls with Alex Rodriguez the other night, I had forgot. Like, I know he got in, but I forgot it was this Sunday. And I was like, oh, all right. That's right. That's this Sunday. And they're playing, like, highlights and clips on Nesson here and there. I remember during the Rays series, they showed a 500th home run that happened to the Trop. But it wasn't like, hey, it's the 24th. Tune in, 24th. If David Ortiz, like, all right, you're getting it maybe a little bit now in the Globe. There's going to be a thing at Fenway on Tuesday night, but it doesn't feel like your typical Red Sox sell job, and I'm with Jones on this. This is indicative of how the ownership treats the team now, which is just another thing in their portfolio.
Yeah, it's a shame because, I mean, a lot of people would say that, you know, he's maybe the most important figure in Red Sox history, or at least the most important player, or, you know, the most impactful player. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. And David Ortiz, and we all know what he meant to this franchise. 15 years, I believe he was here. He's the greatest clutch, you know, hitter maybe of all time. And again, maybe the most impactful Red Sox player in the history of this team. And for it to be going under the radar like it is, it does show apathy, you know, with the powers that be in the Red Sox front office. That's, to me, is something that this is a big, big deal. And it feels like it's kind of a pimple on the ass as far as trying to, you know, get in the news cycle and just people talking about it. This is a really big deal. And for it to kind of go under the radar like it has, I think it shows you, just like you said, Jim, apathy, not only with the fan base, but really more so with just the owners in the front office, people there.
They miss Cam and Taunton, regular caller here, said, did they miss a Larry Lucchino? Called into the show this week. And I was like, you know, we were like, yeah, I think they kind of do. They miss
what's like a Larry Lucchino? What does that mean?
When Larry Lucchino was running the Red Sox, like, the Red Sox were up in your grill all the time. It was one big sell job. And it got to annoying to a point, but at least it felt like they cared. Like, Larry cared. Larry was about beating the Yankees and feeding the monster. Even Dr. Charles Steinberg, who was essentially like their PR and marketing arm. When those two were there, the Red Sox were all up in your face, owning the back page, making sure they're doing their best to make sure that they were looked at as like the number one team in town. Now, there's none of that now. And some of that has to do with the sport isn't what the people don't care about the sport that they
want.
But still.
They have so much control over controlling narratives or as far as putting news out there, shaping, narratives. And getting people excited, it's a huge responsibility on the teams to kind of help do that and cultivate that. And you're right. They haven't done that. And I mean, the Patriots, I think they're some of the best at doing that as far as trying
to own the
capture. A conversation I had with RKK back in the day. We were up in New Hampshire after we won our first Super Bowl in 01. And I just remember him saying, I mean, it was a goal of his to basically bury the Red Sox. He wanted to be the number one team in town. That was, not only did he want to win championships, he wanted to be the number one team in town. And you just think of the changing of the landscape from the time I got drafted in 1995. Where would you say the Patriots were on the sports landscape in Boston back in 1995? What was the pecking order?
Oh, I think it was Red Sox, precipitous drop-off, then Pats-ish. Then it was just like a hodgepodge of Pats, Celtics, Bruins were last around that time. But
so you put the Pats, well, because they had a good 94 season.
Yeah.
You got Drew Bledsoe.
There was hype because of Drew and Parcells.
So, but it was a distant second.
It was, again, Red Sox, like Grand Canyon-esque drop-off. As you saw, that 96 run really helped you guys. And it was a really good competitive team.
So it started then to get to,
yes,
to fight. The Red Sox were still number one, and they were still number one. I don't know, maybe up to 2004.
Yeah.
But the Patriots, we won 3 in 4 years, and we won our third one in 2004. And it felt like we were even right there. And now it's not even. The Red Sox went from by far the number one team in 1995 to they are easily the fourth, probably most, popular team in town. Think?
Once they got over that hump and won. In a lot of ways, I now feel like it's easier to say now that we're so far removed from it. In a lot of ways, it's one of the worst things that ever happened to them. They were far more entertaining when you had the dangling carrot in front of them. But I thought 07 was the line of demarcation where it was like, now the Patriots are king. I mean, that team, again, almost it's the 18-1 year. But the Red Sox win the World Series that year, and that's looked at, I think, even today, Ted, as like one of the more afterthought titles during that 20-year run, which goes to show how spoiled we all are. But 07, like that team was a wagon, and the Pats were like that was just kind of like not an afterthought. People were like, "Yeah, the Red Sox are great, but like I'm focusing on the Pats." The Pats really took over that year.
It was, you're right. That's what a lot of people, and that's when Tom Brady maybe became Tom Brady. It was so fun. I loved playing for the Patriots in those early my whole career. I was very grateful that I got to play for this team. I can't imagine it having a better experience as far as the fans and the fan base than playing here. It was so fun that 2004 season when I felt like our team was like we lost two games that year. We did. Miami Dolphins,
Miami
who
Pittsburgh,
sucked,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Miami and Pittsburgh, right? But we knew we were good and we were good. But the Red Sox were too. And it was just, how fun was it when you have, it's in October and you're at a Patriots game and they're announcing the score of a playoff game with the Red Sox
erupts.
And the place goes nuts.
Yeah.
It was really cool to be a fan in 2004 in Boston. And I was a player and I was having a lot of fun. I can't imagine what the fan experience was for back then. And now it just feels so different, doesn't it?
Totally.
Particularly from the Red Sox point of view.
Back on the Ortiz thing, Hall of Fame. Have you done the Cooperstown trip?
I haven't.
No, no kidding. I will say, even though I am like jaded and crap on most things, it's a good time. I actually want to read a tweet from DJ.
Have you been to Canton? Have you been to the NFL or football event?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't been to that one either. So.
I have to go there, and I have to go to the hockey one in Toronto. But I've been to like random ones. I've been to the NCAA Hall of Fame. I've been to the College Football Hall of Fame, having lived in the South. But the Baseball Hall of Fame, it's a nice trip. And I want to read the tweet from tweet from a few hours ago from DJ Bean at NBC Sports Boston. I thought kind of summed it up because he, too, is like a jaded a-hole. And he said, I like getting these sports jokes off as much as the next dummy. But something about baseball dorks getting horned up for Cooperstown stuff sincerely warms my heart. We all got to have a thing that does it for us. And I agree. Typically, this is something I would probably dump on. But the Cooperstown experience, it's a good time. You should do it once. Even if baseball ever meant like a little thing to you, you should go. I think I still got to go to Canton in the Hockey Hall of Fame, obviously. But I think it's the Hall of Fames I've been to, it's kind of awesome. And if you're into baseball cards, too, they got the Honest Wagner T206 there and like all the cards through history. Like it's a good trek and it's a quaint little town. Do it once. It's a good time.
What's the Baseball Hall of Fame going to look like, 50 years from now? Is it going to be?
Well, I hope it has
all the analysts are going to have a bus. And they're going to have analysts are going to be putting into, in all these front office geeks and nerds. They're going to be getting.
Right. Billy Bean will get in.
Billy Bean will get in. Just,
ugh. Oh, that's gross.
Right. But, yeah. I mean, but here's the thing. It's weird. Like, all players, it's kind of like, is it about players anymore? Or is it about outsmarting the other team and their analytics team and kind of piecing together, you know, wins and piecing together these teams? And they, you know, guys are traded all the time. You just wonder, like, the Hall of Fame in baseball, it's going to be, I think, less and less guys getting in because there's, I don't know. I just don't think the analytics are going to change kind of how players are viewed and the stats are going to be different than they've ever been. I think it's going to be harder to kind of get behind players because I just don't think players aren't going to get paid what they usually, and they, you know, whatever great players they go to get, make so much money in these other markets and then you never hear from them again. Then they don't become Hall of Famers. I just think.
You're right, though.
40 years from now, it's going to look a little different.
Yeah, some of the nerds are going to get in for being pioneers in terms of the analytics. Oh, that's gross to think about, especially when someone like Roger Clemens or Barry Bonds won't end up getting in. And so that's the one thing, and I know I'm not alone here, what bothers me about the Baseball Hall of Fame, as much of a good trip as it is it's the gatekeeping. Like, it's stupid that those guys aren't in. It's beyond stupid. That, and I get that it was a bridge too far for even Pete Rose with the gambling, but Pete Rose should probably be in too. And it's that kind of stuff, like, oh, no. The howdy, like, attitude surrounding, you know, the writers, the BBWAA, and how they won't let some of these guys in. It's just obnoxious.
Can I just have to say this, okay? Because I've been around baseball players back in the day. It wasn't just the hitters doing steroids.
Right.
It was all the position players. Like, a lot of position. So the right fielder was taking steroids. The second baseman
was taking steroids.
The pitcher. Most of the pitchers were taking steroids. So, like, everybody was doing it, dude. So to only kind of call out in, you know, the great hitters is ridiculous when the hitter was just doing business as business was being done back then because the guy that was pitching was probably using something, too.
No doubt. Michelle in South Carolina on David Ortiz. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
It's good.
Good.
It's a sad day when we have to talk about the Red Sox brass and how tuned out they are for the Red Sox because, you know, I'm a huge fan, have been for life, and it's like Devers and Bogaerts are homegrown. So, I mean, if we're really talking about homegrown players, it's shocking that they don't want to keep either one, it sounds like. And the players that have been brought up, homegrown, kind of look like, okay, I was going to swear, crap. You know me. Look like crap, and they can't play. And the lineup that they're putting out there today, like you said, shows us again what the hell are they doing? You know, to me, they're more interested in everything else but the Red Sox. So I don't know why. Is it people that are touring that are coming and spending money on the tickets? Because I don't understand. They did the stupid wave last night. They played Sweet Caroline last night. They were standing up and clapping last night, and they were getting freaking blown out. I'm not understanding the whole concept of all that.
I'm going to let you go on that, Michelle. They have this was all over social media this week. They have the highest ticket price in all of Major League Baseball, and they're putting out a AAA lineup, essentially, for all intents and purposes today, after last night's performance. It's insulting. Yeah. The fan thing, so I heard Joe, and I get where Joe Murray this morning was like, you're not me. People singing Sweet Caroline last night. This is, and I get it, but... Like, what do you expect? Like, it's kind of a tourist trap. There's a lot of people that go there that aren't hardcore fans. They're just there to have a time. It was such a terrible night for a lot of those people that paid the cost. You want to sing, go nuts. Like, I think it's obnoxious, but it doesn't bother me that much. The play on the field, the product, how the ownership treats it, and it's just an afterthought. That, to me, is offensive. Not people singing Sweet Caroline doing the wave last night. You're bored. You're sweating your ass off. The hell are you supposed to do? Get your jollies off. You want to sing the dumb song? Sing the dumb song.
Yeah, I didn't have as much of a problem with it. I mean, you know what, though? It's funny. It was 2 years ago during the COVID. I just remember they didn't have a sellout until like midway through the season. Maybe even last year. This, for years, every game was a sellout. It hasn't been that way in a long time.
Oh, long, long
people
time.
Aren't, people aren't... So the people are going, you're like you said, aren't diehard for those reasons, for being tourists or whatever. And then part of it is, and then the other thing is just not as many people are going to games. If you look at the stands, it's just not as full as it used to be. So people are kind of slowly showing their disapproval by not going, because they used to sell out every game. They don't even come close anymore.
I'm trying to think realistically. This is a real number. So this heat, those seats, say if it's a terrible seat, right field bleach, like right field near bleachers, I have to look to my left the whole game.
Yeah, the whole game, yeah.
This lineup, this team, how I feel
it's
about
it. 4 o'clock.
Ted, I would need $25,000 cash in hand for me to go to this thing today.
Yeah.
I got to sit there the whole nine. Maybe it goes to extras. Yeah. Oh, the thought of extras. Oh, God. $30,000 cash. I would need $30,000 cash for me to attend that game in a bad seat.
Tell you what, me too. If you want Ted Johnson to go with Jim Murray, it's going to cost $30,000.
You think I have a hard time fitting in one of those seats? Yeah. You? Oh, my God.
Like the right field bleachers at 4 o'clock today when the sun's beating down with that lineup based off of what happened last night.
What a hell.
I'm good. At least last night, I thought there was a nice cool breeze. I was walking my dog last night, and it was hot, but it felt like, you know, at least the wind kept me kind of cool. So you had that last night. You won't have that today. Oh, who's going to that game and sitting out in right field? God bless you.
Tourists and sadists. I mean, I expect to see a lot of blue jerseys. I'm sure there's some Canadians in town, Blue Jays fans. They can go. That I understand. This is part of your little vacation, your trip here to Boston this summer. You people around here that care about the team are going there? Sell those off. What's wrong with you? All right, we'll take more of your calls here as we continue on Gasper and Murray. 617-779-0985. Red Sox and Pats heavy today. Again, let's hear from you. A couple open lines. 617-779-0985.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Chris Gasper.
Oh my God.
And Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It was tough to watch, you know. It was tough to be in the dugout, to be honest with you. And they know it, and I know it, you know. And it's not lack of preparation. It's not lack of effort, because we keep working on our stuff, and we keep, you know, going through the process the right way. You know, it just, I would love to say that this happens, but it doesn't happen often, you know, and we just got to turn the page, be ready for tomorrow, and that's the only way you can attack the day tomorrow.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora, after that embarrassing, I stand by this, yet hilarious, 28-5 loss in the hands of the Blue Jays last night to start the second half of the season. Yeah, it looks like a well-prepared, dialed-in team. Hey, you guys go off for the All-Star break. Get some rest. J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, go enjoy yourselves. You guys are, you know, one guy voted in. The rest are alternates. J.D. Martinez has a hair across his ass about that. But, you know, get some rest. You guys feel fine. Come back.
Got Evaldi coming back.
Yeah. That's the performance you get last night. J.D. Martinez with the tweaked back, because what, his bags were too heavy? Like, what's the deal there? And now Rafael Devers out of the lineup today. So, again, the lineup, you would think Jaron Duran would be in Worcester after he had the lack of effort in the inside of the park Grand Slam last night. No, he's still in center field and leading off tonight. So, no J.D. Martinez, no Rafael Devers. And the update on Devers is this. I just had it here. Reading from Julian McWilliams. Covers the Red Sox for the Boston Globe. Strong chance that Rafael Devers might go on the IL. He tweaked his right hamstring last night in his last at-bat. Wasn't moving well during the game, so not much good news coming out of Boston right now for the Red Sox. So Devers now possibly going on the IL. That's great.
My hamstring. This is clearly, I don't know, maybe we needed a sign. Maybe we needed it to be so bad, Jim, to kind of, you know, maybe the Red Sox needed something to kind of, you know, give us a sign, you know, baseball guys, to show us what do we need to be, sellers or buyers at the trade deadline. Clearly, losing 7 out of the last 8, you come back and after 7 days off, and that's the performance you put out there last night at home against a division rival, and that's the effort you put out there. It might be more and more clear and more defined as to what the Red Sox need to do. Will they do it? You're saying go all in. Don't half this thing. Like, if you're going to sell, let's go. Be sellers.
Yeah.
Don't kind of middle it. Try and show that you still want to have a winning team. Like, do what you really want to do. Is trade all this salary, trade all these guys, and get prospects back. You know what? You're basically saying, yeah, now's the time. Do it now. Go. Let's go.
And the pitching, too, is, you know, it's a lot of this has been people ragging on the likes of Bobby Dalbec and Franchi Cordero, and rightfully so. I mean, yeah. There's guys that are absolute stiffs that are in that lineup.
Dude, it's hard to strike out 15 out of the last 16 batting attempts you've had. Franchi Cordero.
Really suck.
Holy cow, you got to suck.
But the pitching has turned into a pumpkin. Guys, again, Evaldi last night. Nick Pivetta has been awful as of late. They've allowed 125 runs in their last 14 games. Pretty big sample size, and that's, I mean, my math, if I can do this correctly, it's just a short of like 9 runs per game. They're a mess. Sell. You're going to be hot at the right time. It's the third wild card. They could squeak in. The team stinks. This is closer to what they are. Don't say it. I'm saying it. June was fake. That's what we get to say about the Red Sox.
But Jim, that was the best month they've had in the history of the franchise.
Oh, right. Oh, no. This is who they really are. No. Don't say it. Yeah, no, I'm saying it. The team sucks. Blow it up. Brendan in the car on the Red Sox. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I've been on hold for a while, so quick thing. As a Giants fan, good luck with Joe Judge running your offense. beyond that, you're giving John Henry too much credit. I think he's purposely keeping the noise in Ortiz down because he's calling him out. Anyways, I've talked about the Red Sox. The whole June was a fluke, and I knew this was coming. June was all bad teams. And then I knew coming into the stretch of AL East teams, they suck again. And I will say, I agree with you. If you're going to get rid of Devers and you're not going to sign him, trade him. Like, it's pathetic that that's even, I have to think of that. But knowing this owner and knowing what he wants a GM to do, be as cheap as possible, trade him. You might as well get the prospects and whatever you can get. It's so sad this is how it's going, but these owners are so dejected, they want to be successful enough to pull in all these touristy fans who sing Sweet Caroline or down by 45, but then they don't give a crap about the hardline team fans. They don't. They just want to make enough money while not spending, and that's what Chaim Bloom will do for you.
All right, thanks for the call. Yeah, and I want to see him be put to the test. For those of you the Bluminati that have pumped this guy up, this is the way. No, hashtag Heim. Okay, let's see it. So if they're not going to extend Devers, they're not going to give a real offer to Xander Bogaerts. They want to move on through these guys. Trevor Story is the answer, not Xander Bogaerts. Okay, let's see. Really sell off. Move on from J.D. Martinez. Move on from Nathan Eovaldi. These are guys who are going to be gone in the offseason. Sell them off. See what you get. Get more prospects. Put the nerd to the test. I want to see it.
I'm with you because I'm anti-nerd. And for the athlete, the former athlete, that any of the athletes, any of the baseball players are going to be the anti-nerd. I'm anti-nerd. So what I want to do is to see their system fully exposed and see if it works. May prove me wrong, but I don't think it will. And so I'm with you. You know what? Do what they really want to do with their heart of hearts, which is sell off, get a bunch of prospects, build up their farm system, and go from there. Let's see him do that.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is just some of the numbers surrounding them, too. Again, I mentioned the 125 runs in their last 14 games. The other one that's floating out there, courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info, Red Sox have a minus 47 run differential over their last three games. Worst over a three-game span in the modern era since 1900. Oof. And it's the fourth worst run differential in MLB history and worst since the Louisville Colonels in 1894. A team I didn't know existed, but you'd probably get some history on if you went to the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. The old Colonels with Hoss Radburn and guys with giant mustaches. You know,
I'm going to put this one out there. My feeling is, and I don't have, I didn't research this, but I'd be curious. Do you know Toronto had 11 hits last night when they had two strikes against them? 11 hits.
Oh, wow.
With two strike count. If I had to bet, my feeling is that is a Major League Baseball record. I couldn't believe. I heard Alex Cora say that. He goes, they had 11 hits against two strike, and when they had two strikes on in the count, 11 hits? That's amazing to me. I bet you that's a record. Bad to bet.
Mike in Woburn on Asante Samuel. Those comments we played from the I Am Athlete podcast. Hey, Mike. Hello, Mike. Mike in Woburn's usually one of the better callers, and we don't have him.
Put him on hold. Call back, Mike.
Yeah, call back. 617-779-0985, of course, is the phone number. Any other bees in your bonnet? Any other? So I haven't seen you since the Celtics blew it in the finals. Do you have any leftover thoughts? Some of the Malcolm Brogdon edition?
I'm a big fan of the Malcolm Brogdon. I like what they did. And then you hear the reports, you know, Greg Doyle's basically calling out Malcolm Brogdon for his leadership. And then you hear Malcolm Brogdon talk, and you're like, okay, well, maybe there's a Look, I love the player. I really do. I think it's I think with Marcus Smart, I think that's an indictment against Marcus Smart. And I think when they brought him in, it's like, I think you need a guy like Marcus Smart, you always got to keep pressure on him. He's kind of one of those guys that if you just let him relax and let him just think, hey, Marcus, you got, then I think he loses focus. If he feels like there's someone always chomping off the heels, or that they might trade him, or that he might not be the guy and they might be experimenting, that's, I think that brings out the best of him. It'll be interesting to see how those two can cohabitate, especially when you consider what was the biggest problem for the Celtics all regular season and in the playoffs was crunch time.
Oh, yeah.
Their
lack of ability, the inability to close.
Okay. And so I think that's going to be the one thing to look for in the 2023 season is at the end of games, who's out there. And I think that's where it's going to be interesting to see is how it all works at the end of games is who's out there on the court in quote unquote crunch time with, you know, with you in the last 5 minutes within a 5 point range. That's what's considered crunch time. How do they do? They were the second worst team in the NBA in crunch time in the regular season. And we saw what it did to them in the playoffs. That to me potentially could still be an issue. If everybody's not feeling comfortable in their roles and Marcus Smart, if he's sitting there on the bench at crunch time and Malcolm Brogdon's out there, how is that gonna affect Marcus? I think it's the,
be interesting to see.
Yeah, I love Gallinari. I think Gallinari. I love what he brings to the table. So I love those two pickups. I do.
Yeah, my only thought I have that's anything related to the NBA right now is like what a tease that Durant thing was. Like, what are we like a month plus into Durant is asked for a trade out of Brooklyn?
What do you think happened there though? Like, do you think Durant actually went to them and said, I want to trade? And so they said, okay, well, we'll try and get you a trade. Do you think they really tried? Do you think do you think Durant said, trade me or else? Like,
The players really, the players know their value in that league more than any other in all of professional sports. I think that they dictate where guys go. If someone's unhappy, they know that they kind of have these teams over a barrel. So I have no doubt in my mind that he went to Josiah and ownership and all of that happened. It just feels like,
you think they tried to accommodate him and they,
I think to a point. I'm sure that they also were like, F you. Like, we've bent over backwards for you to get you here, and now you're doing this to us. So they're well within their right to look and try to explore and see if you can get a decent enough accumulation of assets back. But they probably didn't, also break their back to do so, and I don't blame them.
There's a fine line between – we all love the player movement. Let's face it. The NBA hot stove has been so fun to cover the last, 5-10 years with what's going on with player movement. But then there's a point in which you kind of look at it and you go, it's dirty. Like, you want to be traded after you just signed you have 4 years left on your deal and things didn't go the way you wanted. So now it's uncomfortable. You want to go. Like, then there's a point in which it's like, I don't blame the teams for being like, no, we're not trading you. You got to figure out you got to make it work, Kevin Durant, with Kyrie. You wanted him here. Now you're stuck with him.
It just feels like nothing's going to happen now. And I wanted it for the fun. You know, I wanted him to go to like Dallas because I think him matching up with Luka Doncic would be, fantastic to watch. But I didn't think he was ever going to come here. But it feels like it's just died in a vine. Like nothing's going to happen now. Like they're going to be back in Brooklyn. It feels like. So, that whole thing was one big tease. All right. Coming up, 5 questions for Ted Johnson. Got nothing to do with sports as we wrap the show here on Gasper Murray.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. This is 98.5. Sports
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got 5 questions for Chris Gasper of the Globe. I got 5 questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got 5 questions.
5, 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's how we normally wrap the show each and every week. Five questions for Chris Gasper have nothing to do with sports, but Chris still out in Los Angeles covering the MLB All-Star Game. Wait, that was Tuesday. Yeah, you know, I know, but you know, Chris has things to see in L.A. So Ted Johnson is in his spot today, which is always a pleasure to work with Ted. Someone hilariously tweeted yesterday, too. There was like some sort of brawl that happened in the fashion district in L.A. yesterday. It's like, oh, this is what's happening, Gas. Like, there's a sale. I want that scarf. All right. So question number one.
You know, by the way, I have his personal tailor now.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah, so, this is a true story. So, Chris, this is great.
Believe it or not.
Yep. Chris has a personal tailor. Because of course he does. And now he has recommended her to you, and you've been using her for a while too, and you're always looking snazzy in NBC Sports Boston.
Well, I'm gonna it's gonna be an unveiling. So I've never
oh,
I've
this,
never,
is, oh
this is all new.
Oh.
So I've only been working with her for the last 2 months, but yeah, I've always liked the way Chris dresses, and so I asked him about it, and their prices are reasonable, so she's been working with me. So all my stuff is hopefully coming in very, very soon. hard pill to swallow,
yeah.
But you just go, okay, I want to look better. And so I have dedicated, and I have said, screw it, I'm going to do it. And so now I am, we'll see. You'll see me this fall, hopefully looking more
like the cashmere columnist.
And more like Chris Gasper than ever before. Yeah,
oh, that's incredible. Yeah, so man. Just because I'm curious, how does this work? So do you send a photo of yourself from like head to toe, give her sizes, and then she sends you
oh,
stuff?
Oh, no. She comes. So
okay.
She comes to get all the measurements. So once you get measured, and you get that first fitting, okay, this worked, this didn't work, let's take a little here, take a little there, add this. Then once she has all that, then you can just order without her having to measure you. So it's just a one-time deal. But she came out, she helped me clear out all my closets, get all my old stuff out. Oh, it's like a whole kind of new vision for my wardrobe.
That's wild.
And I'm actually very, very excited because I needed help with my fashion. And who looks better than Chris Gasper?
It's really true.
So
that's
I asked him who his person was, and he recommended her. She's been great.
Well, question number one, Ted, is it hot enough for you? Do you like this heat? Are you okay with this heat? Because a lot of complaining here as we're in this heat wave.
I've lived two places. I grew up in two places, I should say. I've lived many places, but I grew up in Houston, Texas, and then San Diego, California, right? And then for the temperatures couldn't be more different. I am a cold weather guy. So if people, there was a big discussions of would you rather play in the cold weather or the heat? Put me in the cold all day. University of Colorado, New England, thank God they drafted me. I operate and I do much better in the cold than I do in the heat. The heat,
This is Houston heat.
Yeah. What we are feeling, the humidity is you walk out and it just hits you in the face and you are sweating right away. That's how it is in Houston. I would say it's a tad bit more humid in Houston, but the heat is in line with Houston.
I'll say it sucks, but it's still better than the winter for me. I hate the winter now and snow. I'd much rather deal with this than kind of like 8 to 10 inches of snow and sleet and rain and all that crap.
I think living in New England, it's like the perfect example of the effects of global warming because it doesn't snow as much here anymore, Jim.
True.
And so I like it when it was at least cold enough to snow. This kind of what we have now where the winters don't get as cold, and so it's like rainy, and when it does snow, it's like a dirty snow after a few days because it's rainy. I'd rather it be either be cold and snowy, but this thing where we got where it is now where it snows like three times a year in Boston, and then it's, you know, dirty snow after. I don't like that. So I think it's worse now than it was 20 years ago.
Question number two, best vacation spot. A lot of people on vacations. You got a lot of people from Canada, Toronto Blue Jays fans in town going to Fenway, packing it this weekend. What's your ideal summer vacation spot?
Oh, around here. I mean, let's face it. If you can afford Nantucket, I'm a huge fan. If you get a chance to go to Nantucket, it's so damn expensive. New Hampshire, a little underrated. Portsmouth, we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Vermont, you know, Stratton, Vermont. Like, there's, I think Vermont's kind of an underrated place. Vinatieri used to have a place up in Vermont. I don't think that's such a bad place either. So, like, around here, I think there's parts of Vermont. I love mountain golf. So, in the summertime, there's a lot of really fun golf courses in Vermont and in places in New Hampshire that are a lot of fun. So, I recommend, if you can't go to the islands, these places are underrated, I think.
There's part of me that hates giving this away, but I've said it a few times. Peaks Island in Maine, it's a 15-minute ferry on the Isle of Shoals off of Portland. Tiny little island. You can ride a bicycle. You can go around it. And it's like 3 miles around or 5 miles around. But on the back side of it, It's beautiful. Stunning views of the ocean. And they, you know what they have there, if you're any kind of, if you like World War II history at all, they have a lot of old pillboxes and military installations there from World War II, and they thought the Nazis were coming. And so a lot of that stuff is still there, and it's just really? The juxtaposition of the beauty of nature and then just seeing like, ominous pillboxes. It's just kind of cool
to see. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever walked the property of Fort Devens out there in Western Mass?
I've been when I was a kid.
Well, it's kind of awesome. Yeah. And I play golf out there at Red Tail sometimes. It's got a lot of these old, like, where these guys used to train and sleep, and they're all kind of deserted now and empty. You know, you start walking through some of those, it's actually really cool.
Question number three, would you rather drive or fly? If you are going on vacation, do you have a preference?
I'll fly. Although flying sucks these days,
yeah.
Everything seems to be no. I'm not big on the driving experience. I'll do it if I have to, but I just get me there fast so I can get on the beach quicker that way.
Speaking of which, because this is stemming from a true story, which I'll expand on here. But would you ever give up an aisle seat on a plane?
I have before. It depends who's asking me.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the mother that needs to sit with her child, clearly. I have been asked, because the person was way overweight, to do it. I'm like, you're looking at me? Ask me? No, sorry. I won't do it.
There is the key. It depends who's asking. So, coming back from Fort Lauderdale last Sunday, I couldn't believe this happened, but this tiny little man walks on with his giant wife. They're not sitting together. I was able to pay for Comfort Plus, so we're in Comfort Plus. He's got the middle seat. I'm on the window, man in the aisle. This guy's nervously looking around, looking behind him, looking at his giant wife. I'm like, what's he going to ask? Ask the guy in the aisle seat. Hey, how attached to that aisle seat are you?
Come on.
Verbatim. And the guy goes, well, I paid for it. And he goes, well, you know, my wife is two rows back. Would you mind switching?
Unbelievable.
The guy turns in the aisle seat and he goes, well, that's not Comfort Plus. Like, I paid extra for this. And he goes, well, yeah, would you mind? He goes, look, I'm comfortable here. And the guy gets huffy and goes, I can't believe you wouldn't give up your aisle seat.
Wow.
To this guy's credit, of the aisle seat, he just put his AirPods back in and just stared straight. You know, like, go F yourself.
A part of me wishes a guy would ask me to do it like that. And I just hope that my response, I'll be proud of.
Yeah.
Because just the balls on that guy.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing.
Final question, Ted. What's the perfect summer treat? Hot day like this, feels like 100. You want a creamsicle? You want an ice cream sandwich? You want a slush? You just want an ice cold Bud? Like, what's the perfect summer treat?
I'm not a big drinker. In fact, I've never really acquired the taste for alcohol. So, you know what? An ice cream sandwich might be my favorite just kind of dessert summertime dessert. But I'm a big fan of the slushy. Give me the slushy. Give me an icy from 7-Eleven with the different, you know, me getting mixed the flavors. A snow cone with different flavors, mm-hmm. grape and cherry. Ice cream truck with the snow cone. Those are ice and, you know, like flavored kind of toppings on top of that.
And you don't feel like you're doing your body much harm with an icy thing. It's not cream. It's not ice cream. So I'm with you on this. The New England classic, a blue vanilla slush, like a small to medium blue vanilla slush that's fresh right out there from like Richie's or something like that. That to me is
shaved
the perfect
ice. That's the way to go,
bud. Ted, always a pleasure, pal.
My man, we're going to get out. We're going to play golf soon.
Yeah.
And I look forward to that. Always a pleasure, bud. You be good.
You too. All right. So coming up next, it's Tim McCone. Get you caught up with the headlines here. What's going on with the Red Sox and their lineup today as they get embarrassed last night by the Blue Jays. So headlines, and then Tim McCone coming up next. You want to join him, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.